Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the seventh floor of Tribune Tower. And here till 5 a.m. When Steve Cochran rolls in. Phone number is 312-981-7200. You can send your text to 24720. And it's been really cold this winter. Dangerously cold. And we've had days straight of sub-zero temperatures. Mother Nature's really slapping us around here in the Midwest and in Chicago. And to get some advice on how to deal with this cold weather, and especially if something bad happens in the cold weather, we've enlisted the help of Dr. James Hubbard. He's one of the nation's top survival medicine experts. And his website is thesurvivaldoctor.com. He writes about how to deal with medical problems in a disaster. And he is the author of three books, including his latest, which is Living Ready Pocket Manual First Aid. We've got some cold weather items to talk about, considering we're in the midst of a deep freeze. And we welcome Dr. James Hubbard to the show. James, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Tell me how you you became the survival doctor.
Well, I've been practicing for a long time now. When I first started practicing back about over 30 years ago now, people kind of knew there wasn't much 911 in the rural areas I was at, and people had to know how to survive and get by. The people that lived out in the country, they couldn't depend upon an ambulance getting there pretty quickly, and they knew what to do. But over a period of time, I've noticed with the good things of technology and modern medicine and being able to call 911 and get there in a few minutes, that there's people have also are not as well informed about what to do if 911 didn't get there. And every year we see that. And every year I'm seeing that, and that's one of the reasons, you know, the things like tornadoes or the Boston bombing are just being out and stranded in the cold weather and can't get and the roads are down. You need to know how to do certain things, basic things, and even a little more than that in case that time when help is not available runs into a few hours or a few days or so. And sometimes, you know, obviously that's the case occasionally, and who knows what's going to happen in the future.
That's true. Now, where are you from?
I'm originally from Mississippi, and that's where I did most of my practice. About 10 years ago, I sold my practice, and that was about the time I started really focusing in on getting doing more communication. In the practice, you talk to people, and you're rushed, and not only that, but people in the patients, they don't tend to listen a lot in the office. It's just part of the nervousness. I mean, I've told patients, wait in the room as they're getting out of the door. Wait in the room. We're going to do some lab work or something, and they'll say, okay, see you later, doctor, and they'll be walking out the door. And that's happened to me several times. Mm-hmm. And made me think that people are, you know, they don't really take in things. When they're at the doctor's office, I started doing handouts, and that helped a little bit so that they could read at home. And as time has gone on, the internet has come up big, and that I had more time, I wanted to branch out more and help more people. And about 10 years ago, I moved to Colorado Springs. In great area here, and of course we have the mountains and we have the cold weather. Colorado Springs has cold weather, but it's not nearly like up in a little bit a few miles from us.
Yeah. Now, in general, James, I want to talk specifically about cold weather since we're getting slammed here in the Midwest with some really, really bitter cold weather consistently day in and day out. But in general, cell phones and technology, that must have been a really good step towards people, you know, doing the right thing in emergency situations, correct?
It is. Of course, sometimes the cell phones don't work. They're out of order. They're down. The towers are down. Are the batteries down? And, you know, there's multiple instances of that. But cell phones definitely help out. And I would always have a fully functional, fully powered cell phone in the car in these cold weather times, because it could definitely be a lifesaver. But, you know, sometimes things happen and you've got to react right away. You're out, you know, even if you can get on the cell phone, you still may have to have, you're still going to need to know some medical things some of the time in order to save a life.
Mm. Now, tell me about what people will find in your latest book, Living Ready Pocket Manual First Aid. Tell me about that.
It's a fairly small book that'll fit into any backpack or fit just about anywhere and maybe into your car. It's to read, first off, to get down some of the basic fundamentals of what you have to do in common emergency situations and have those memorized. And they're fairly few because a lot of the things have common as far as the life-saving type, immediate type things you have to do. There are some, and I have that in the book, and I have where you should memorize those. You get the situation under control enough where, you know, that there's not immediate life-threatening problems. And then you can go back if you have to. If you're in a situation, you go back to the book and you can look on how to treat a wound if there's something complicated about the wound, or how to repair it, or how to clean it, or how to treat a broken bone, or what to do if somebody passes out or has an allergic reaction or has some sort of sting or plant allergic reaction and things like that. Wow. It's a book filled with things like that.
That's great. And it's small enough that you can just carry it anywhere. You can put it in your luggage, put it in the backpack, and you can just have it with you in case.
Yeah, and I tried to keep it very efficient writing so that it tells you a little bit about what the problem is, how to tell what the problem is, and what to do. Of course, you want to get expert medical help if this is available.
Right.
But this is when it's not there yet or it's not available.
Okay. And tell me about the survivaldoctor.com and what will people find when they go to that website, which we have linked up on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. But tell me about the survivaldoctor.com.
Yeah, I have videos there, how-to videos. I have tons of articles on multiple type of just about cold weather, hot weather, injuries, diseases, and I have a great, wonderful comments from people who add to that, add to every one of my posts about that. And if you go there, you'll see that you can look. There are several buttons at the top. You can look at categories, or there's a button on how to begin, what to know initially about common medical problems. I have a tab there about my books, and you can go there and click on and get the books. And also I have an about tab about myself.
Okay, great. Well, everybody should check that out, thesurvivaldoctor.com. And like I said, we have a link on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. Now, James, I'm sure you're aware of the cold snap that's happened here in the Midwest and in Chicago. We had a pretty horrible blizzard a couple of years back on Groundhog Day that stranded many people in their cars on Lakeshore Drive, including one of our very own news people here at WGN, Roger Badish, was stuck in his car on Lakeshore Drive, and it was a complete dead halt. There were, you know, hundreds and hundreds of cars that were stuck in and buried in the snow. And one of the articles that I wanted to talk about was this article about these 2 days that these adults and kids survived in sub-zero weather. And I understand that they were in the Nevada mountains for 2 days, and the car was overturned. They didn't have a heater. The temperature got down to well below zero, but they survived. And tell me a little bit about how that can happen. Like, if you're stranded somewhere in this horrific weather, what are some of the do's and don'ts?
Well, they survived amazingly, and apparently didn't have much, didn't have much medical problems afterwards. And I'd like to make a comment about the blizzard there. I mean, I don't know how many people maybe you're used to that there, but I would think it'd be uncommon to be stuck in the middle of Chicago.
Oh yeah, no,
and
it was
can't.
It was, James, it was a very unusual
yeah.
occurrence. I mean, and Lakeshore Drive that I'm speaking of is a thoroughfare
yeah.
that, you know, millions
yeah.
of people drive down. And the fact that it got shut down says volumes about how massive and dangerous this storm was.
Yeah, and that's the point I wanted to make on that, though, is you can think about, you know, you're in tornado area, whatever, you can think about those and definitely want to prepare for those. But I found that half the time when you get into some situation, it's usually something that you just really didn't expect. So you better be prepared in general. As far as these people in the sub-zero temperature, they stayed in their car. Apparently their car was overturned. They couldn't start the engine. There were small children in the car. But I think you can get some points from those that situation. Number one would be they all stayed in the car. I've read several times, you know, about people stranded and they give up and somebody goes for help. If you don't know where you're going, such as in that Chicago if you couldn't see which way you were going when you got out of the car, best thing to do, especially if you're out in the middle of nowhere, is stay in the car. It's much easier to find you if there's a search effort if you stay in the car, and because it's a lot bigger than just person out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Plus, you're more likely to survive longer in the car than if you get out. Staying in the car, of course, gave them some shield from the wind, and I think since there were several in there, their mutual body heat helped. They had warm clothes. Important when you're out and you think you might be, I don't care if you're going down the street, if it's cold weather, you should have some sort of warm clothes and preferably a blanket that you keep in the trunk or back or something all the time so that you can put it on. You can put that blanket on, or you could either cover the windows if you wanted to and get some insulation, because heat, you know, that's cold is the absence of heat, and we generate heat in our bodies, so that if we keep that heat in, by keeping some sort of clothes, you know, some sort of warm insulation on, we have a whole lot better chance of surviving.
And James, hang on. We have to take a quick commercial break.
Okay.
We come back and we'll pick it up right where we left off. Okay.
All right.
All right. Hang on one second. Dr. James Hubbard is with us. He is a top survival medicine expert. His website is thesurvivaldoctor.com, and he's going to give us some more advice on how to survive in this cold weather. If something, you know, an emergency happens, and we've had some dangerously cold weather here night after day after night after day after night after day, and it's been really, really cold. And, you know, if your heat goes out, you get into a car accident, something horrible happens. Dr. James Hubbard is here to help us out, and we've got a bunch more situations to talk about in terms of what to do in this dangerously cold weather. It's Nick DiGilio here. We are on 720 WGN, and we'll return. It's Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. when Steve Cochran rolls in, and we'll hang out with Steve after 5 o'clock. It's cold, man, and it's been cold, and it's going to continue to be cold, and we've had some really dangerous stretches of below-zero weather. We're in the middle of that right now. And Dr. James Hubbard is with us. He's one of the nation's top survival medicine experts. He's got a website called thesurvivaldoctor.com. His latest book is called Living Ready Pocket Manual First Aid, and it's small enough that you can put it in a backpack or some luggage or carry it with you in case an emergency happens. It's there to help you out. We were talking about this story about this family in Nevada whose car overturned, and they were in Nevada mountains for over 48 hours in this kind of weather, the below zero kind of stuff, and they survived. And Dr. James Hubbard was going through and telling us some of the tips if a situation occurs like that on how to survive. James, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
You were talking about they had blankets and warm clothes and things like that. That helped a lot. They stayed inside the car. The mutual body heat helped out, and staying in the car is better than wandering around outside and getting lost, or, you know, and being in the car keeps you a little bit safer from the elements. And what are some of the other things that they did and that people should do in case that occurs?
Well, I'd like to get back to staying in the car for just a second. I was saying that people tend to get out, and it's harder to find those people than to find a car. But the one thing that I think you should, or another thing I think you should keep in mind, is that one of the very early signs of mild hypothermia is starting to get confused. Of course, if you're out in the middle of nowhere and you don't know where you're going anyway, confusion is not going to help. But the reason I bring that up is if you're going to be out in cold weather, you're going to be forced to be out in cold weather, have at least one partner there to be with you. Because if you start getting confused, it goes downhill from there. So back to the after the warm clothes and the mutual body heat, they had a cell phone. Now, the cell phone was out of range, but apparently the people who were looking for them could take the pings or whatever they do get and from the faint signal that they were getting to the towers that were close by and kind of locate like they do on these some of these television shows, kind of triangulate the place where they were and get up and kind of hone in at least on some sort of territory in the vast Nevada mountains. And that was helpful for the people who were rescuing them. So remember to have that cell phone. Also, in your car, you should have always some food and water. Not only for the obvious, but anytime you hypothermia is a lot more of a risk if you're hungry or you're dehydrated. Your body doesn't function as well. That heat does, and metabolism doesn't work as well. And, you need the fuel in order to get the heat. And also, if you start shivering, that's a fantastic way to produce body heat, but you give out after a while. Your energy gives out. And if you, I actually saw read something about a guy who stayed like in the had a it was stranded in a car, and the only thing he had to drink or eat was beer. And I wouldn't advise that, and that's usually alcohol is something you'd stay away from. But it did give him some energy, and I think the energy did help him survive.
Oh, see, beer can be good for you. Yeah, every once in a while. Yeah,
yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about frostbite, James? What are the do's and don'ts when it comes to frostbite? People might be confused as to, what are the first signs of it? What do you do in that case if you're dealing with frostbite?
First off, obviously, try to avoid it as best you can, and the way you do that is keep clothing on every part of your body. You can, if you were out snowmobiling and you didn't have goggles on, you can get frostbite of the cornea of your eyes.
Oof.
I mean, yeah. So if it's open to the wind and the air and it's cold enough or windy enough, you get frostbite. Another thing is if you get wet, you better try to get dry because heat can leave the body about 30 times more efficiently and faster than if you were dry. So that goes into layering and make sure that you don't layer so that if you start sweating or something, you can take a little bit off. Mm-hmm. But back to if you were to start getting frostbite, if you were to start noticing that your hands were a little are getting red and numb or a little mottled and white, try to get them warm. And the best way to do that would be to get them in some good warm water, not extremely hot. In fact, the temperature, if you had something to tell, would be about 100 to 108 degrees Fahrenheit. But, get it good and warm. To test it with your if you have another part of your body that's not so cold or whatever, test it there, and if you can make sure that it's not, you can tolerate it, and then put it in there. Don't stir. In fact, don't rub. Never for cold or for frostbite or everything. It's not a good idea to rub your skin.
Okay.
You may damage it because it's very, very sensitive at that time. And as far as even for to try to get warm, all it does is it brings the blood to the surface of the skin, and the heat goes away. Oh. So it may make you feel warm, but it doesn't help.
So that's an important thing because I think the first indication for people, the first reaction is to rub. Because you see that all the time, people rubbing their hands together to keep warm and stuff like that. So that's a really important tip. If you feel that the frostbite is coming on, do not rub.
Yeah, it's kind of like the alcohol, it brings the blood to the surface and that makes your skin warm, but that warm skin is much easier to for the heat to then leave your body.
Yeah.
And what you got, if you're going to survive the cold weather, your core of your body has to stay warm.
Okay. All right. And what kind of medication helps with that to get the blood flowing?
Not really anything great. If you were out in the middle of and you couldn't get to medical help, it's possible aspirin might help a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Niacin, which is one of the B vitamins, could help because it will increase your skin circulation. There's vasodilators, which are some of the blood pressure medicines, will help if you were to have that handy. But that's about all.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you should remember is that if you were to be stranded out in the middle of nowhere, and you were to have frostbite, had a chance to warm yourself up, but knew that you were going to get cold again, you were going to have to go out again, you were going to have to spend the night, whatever, it's better just to let the frostbite stay, most in general, than it is to warm up an area and then and let it refreeze. It's more likely to cause damage that way than to just keep it frozen.
Okay.
Kind of like meat,
right.
Meat in your freezer or whatever.
Right.
You let it out, you refreeze it. It doesn't, it's not, it damages it more.
Yeah, I got it. Okay. Well, James, thank you so much for your great tips here. The website is thesurvivaldoctor.com, which we have linked up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NickDShow. The latest book is called Living Ready, Pocket Manual, First Aid. James, hopefully our listeners will not have to use these tips during this really cold stretch, but it's nice to know this, to keep it in the back of your mind during these really dangerous dangerous days that we're having. So, James, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Dr. James Hubbard, who is thesurvivaldoctor.com, and some good tips about what we're dealing with. This is dangerous stuff, folks. It's really, really cold. Be smart and always be prepared. All right, it's Nick DiGilio here. We are on 720 WGN.